43% of Hawaii's residents rent the home in which they live. That's the highest rate of renting in the nation. Last year, approximately 1,700 of those households were evicted. That figure comes from a new report on eviction from the nonprofit group Lawyers for Equal Justice. Isaiah Feldman-Schwartz is a legal analyst with Lawyers for Equal Justice.
We certainly believe that it is moderate and low-income people disproportionately that are getting evicted. And that's partially evidenced by the fact that virtually no tenants at all have attorneys, right? If people could afford legal representation, all of the data suggests they'd be far more likely to remain in their homes. And the fact that they're not able to afford that representation says a lot about who's getting evicted. Our sense is definitely that the majority are non-payment of rent issues. The evidence we looked at suggests that there's a wide range of non-payment issues. You know, you have people that are several months late on rent. That's one thing. You also have people that are late on 1 month's rent or even less than 1 month's rent. And honestly, you know, just based on my experience going down to the courthouse and talking to some of these tenants, you know, within really minutes of arrival of talking to people, I talked to multiple tenants who believe they're being retaliated against for reporting health and safety violations. I talked to one tenant who mentioned that he had sewage bubbling out of his shower. He had a baby daughter. He was able to catch up on his rent, and the landlord told him that they were still going to evict him because he, quote, complained too much. And that's the kind of thing where because tenants don't know, might not, you know, they might have an instinct that's wrong, but they don't know the law. They're not equipped to file those sorts of claims. The court isn't able to hear those issues, and they're not presented in a way that would be most advantageous to the tenants and result in the outcome that the law says is correct in those types of cases.
Now, the report found that when eviction cases went to court, 70% of landlords were represented by an attorney, while only 5% of tenants had one. That resulted in about 90% of the cases ending with an eviction. Part of the reason that number is so high is that in half of all the eviction cases, the tenants fail to appear in court. This results in a default judgment of eviction, also called summary possession.
Half of all cases are an automatic judgment because the merits of the case are never even heard by the judge. That is definitely largely an information issue about clarifying the summons form and providing resources up front to tenants. But in our report, we include many recommendations to changes in the law that we believe would really sort of alter the imbalance of power that's currently in the landlord-tenant code. And would sort of rebalance the scales of justice in terms of also giving tenants some sort of way to enforce their rights. And that's really fundamentally the way we approach this issue, is that landlords have this process, the summary possession process. And again, you know, I'm sure, I don't want to deny anyone's personal experience. If they had trouble with a bad tenant, of course, I'm sure that happens. But it's literally called summary possession because it's faster than most court procedures. And it's designed to return property to landlords as soon as possible. Tenants have no equivalent to that. They have no way to enforce their rights in a timely manner, short of filing open-ended complaints with state or local agencies that have no guarantee of timely recourse, or just moving out, which isn't an option because of the unaffordability of housing. And the fact that they don't have anyone representing them is also one of our key issues. And we're recommending that we take a serious look at authorizing paralegals, or other sort of qualified but non-lawyer advocates to represent tenants in these cases, so that they are able to bring claims that are legally justifiable and should be heard before the court to get the right outcome in these cases, to make sure that those cases are actually brought before the court and aren't left by the wayside.
So why do so many tenants fail to appear in court? Well, communication may be the problem. Victor Giminani is the executive director of Lawyers for Equal Justice. He cited several problems with the summons process.
The first is that the process in which they are notified that they must appear in court, the summons and complaint process that starts an eviction process, really has no information on it about what the process looks like, what opportunities tenants may have to assert defenses that are available to them, and little information about resources that are available if they need assistance from someone. In addition to that, the summons and complaint form has a very ambiguous statement about when the appearance of the tenant is required, because it says 5 days after service of summons, and there's a question sometimes when the service of summons occurred. It doesn't have a specific date, it just has you counting from the day of service of summons back. And where there are business days, it's even more confusing because the days are skipped. So we think that to begin with, the summons and complaint ought to have a very specific date when people should come to court. Secondly, it should have a very clear understanding or explanation of the process that tenants are going to go through in the eviction process, how long it's going to take, what the options are for them going forward, and what the results of the options, depending upon what they choose, are. The third thing they ought to have is some kind of educational process. One page is more than enough. That specifies exactly what the tenant defenses that are available for them to argue that they don't owe the rent necessary, or that they have counterclaims against the owner or the landlord that would offset the money owed because of things that the landlord has done inappropriately, not deliver services, retaliated to try to get them out in terms of their complaints that they made, try to start the eviction process before that reason, or other issues. There's a lot of defenses that tenants have that really tenants don't know about. In fact, most lawyers don't know about unless you do L&T law, and very few people do landlord-tenant law. So there's a whole list of defenses that are available. So that would be very helpful to tenants when they get the summons to understand that there are things they can do in terms of asserting wrongs that have been committed against them by the landlord that will eliminate or reduce significantly the rent owed. We also think that there ought to be a clear listing of the resources available in the community that tenants can access if they want to move forward with contesting the eviction. And last but not least, it would be especially perfect if they were given a draft answer, a form answer that they could submit in court, and especially in Honolulu District Court, where there's one additional step that's necessary for them to process their complaint or defend themselves against the eviction. That would hold down the default rates consistently in Honolulu District Court because, again, the process at this point requires, unlike all of the other courts in the state, tenants to go to one additional hearing, which is really just a time when they say they're innocent or guilty and admit that they owe money and they violated the lease. So those five things we think would go a long way in holding down the default rate, which is really pretty atrocious in our state, and empower tenants to start searching for ways that they could avoid eviction.
The report also recommends some legislative changes to rebalance the landlord-tenant statutes more toward the renter.
If someone doesn't go to court, on the first time the hearing is held, there's a default judgment that's issued against them. And once a judgment is issued for possession, which is basically the same day, tenants can be evicted exactly the same day. In other words, the sheriff can go out and put all of the property out on the street. We think they at least ought to be given a couple of days' notice to arrange for their furniture to be transported somewhere else and to obviously try to find some alternative accommodation. We also think there ought to be a grace period of 5 days that allow tenants to make up within a five-day period of time after the rent was owed, make up the back payment without being penalized. We also think there are a series of defenses that ought to be more explicitly spelled out so that judiciary and tenants and landlords understand exactly what the defenses that are available. One clear example is warranty of habitability. Most tenants don't understand this, but a lease is a contract between the landlord and the tenant. The lease requires rent to be paid by the landlord. That's the tenant's That's the tenant's responsibility. But the landlord has a host of responsibilities to provide maintenance, a quiet enjoyment of the property, to have some form of security, to make sure that they have basics like hot water, make sure they're not retaliated against. Some of those issues that are acknowledged in court law in other jurisdictions could use legislative implementation here. So there's a very clear understanding by everybody about the defenses that were available, and in some situations, what the damages might be. For example, retaliatory eviction, which I think is one of the most serious problems that tenants have, because once they complain to the landlord more than a few times, or certainly if they ever go to the buildings department and lodge a complaint, they're on the radar screen for eviction by the owner because they just don't want to go through the process of dealing with this tenant. That's called retaliatory eviction. And there ought to be a set figure that the tenants can ultimately access, 1 month's rent, 2 months' rent, 3 months' rent. So it gives an understanding to both the tenant and the landlord of what the damages might be if you, in fact, retaliate against someone exercising their rights under the lease and under law to complain about conditions in the property.
That eviction report was prepared by Lawyers for Equal Justice. We'll have a copy posted on HawaiiPublicRadio.org.